You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
Open wide for some soccer!
You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
This club, and any sports franchise for that matter, should be a sacred community asset. That is how we're going to treat the crew. Our goal will be to take the crew to be one of the standard bearers in the league.
And look at the Nord deck there. Crew faithful, ever so loud. Yeah, buddy!
Massive Report, post Houston, post Vancouver edition.
Go crew.
Go crew.
Go crew.
Go crew.
Go crew.
I was just saying, oh crap.
Oh crap, that as well.
Yeah.
That as well. That song is now my mantra for the rest of the season, just so you know. It's just,
all right.
I mean, seriously. So let's get started.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
Is that what we said last week,
too? It is. Yeah.
Oh, well, go ahead and finish your thought.
I was just going to say welcome once again live at Hendox. Sam, Chris, Justin, and Matt on with you. Sam, what's up?
Do you want to start by congratulating somebody?
Michael Parkhurst?
Yes.
Congratulate Michael Parkhurst, Giancarlo Gonzalez.
Nice.
Jairo Arrieta and
Waylon Francis.
Well, yeah, Waylon Francis.
Yeah, yeah.
For making their national team squads. But also, friends of the show, Sean and Summer, add a new hooligan to the...
They had a baby.
They had a baby.
They had a baby.
They had a baby. It's a girl.
Summer had the baby.
Yes, Summer had the baby, not Sean.
Sean did not do much except for right at the beginning.
I'm not...
Yeah.
is it a hooligan baby or a Yellow Nation Army baby?
Six of one,
you know,
half dozen,
you know,
of another.
Why judge now? Let her decide on her
own. Yes. She's going to start actually a new supporters group.
Yeah. Between her and Hudson, might be a new supporters group culture right there. Start them young.
I'm actually just voting for them now to take over. Fresh ideas.
I'll give out email passwords tonight. I don't care.
Yeah, totally makes sense to me.
Can I rebut something that happened on last week's podcast?
While you weren't here?
While I wasn't here. Because I did listen to it.
Yeah.
And I understand that y'all tried some Vegemite.
Yes.
And I would just like to, for the record, say that I have had Vegemite.
Yes.
I have indeed indulged in and tried Vegemite. And I actually did it with Will, who's over there slinging beers, tending bar, at Ruby's. A few years ago, and there was another person.
I'm so glad it's warm today.
There was another person of local
focus,
local notoriety.
Yes.
In attendance, who also tried Vegemite for the first time that evening. His name was One Siggy Schmidt.
Okay.
Yes, that's a thing that happened. So I have had Vegemite, and I do feel the pain that you all experienced last week. But
I enjoyed it.
I did it with cooler people than you did.
You did well.
At the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Chad Marshall Engel.
This show is just starting.
Once again,
out
we're starting by
swimmingly
avoiding talking about
we really
what
are
this podcast is
we
about.
Really are. So the U.S. men's national team announced the 30-man roster today.
Yeah.
We're going to touch on that here in a little bit.
I heard Don Garber made a thing today.
Yeah, there's a new TV deal with Major League Soccer. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Have I successfully avoided talking about it as long as I possibly can?
No, we're only five minutes in.
There were some Columbus, Ohio Buckeyes that got drafted into the No Fun League this weekend.
Nice. That happens.
That happened. Yeah.
And now it's time for our first break.
Oh, no. who needs a refill?
I do want to say one more thing before we get into talking about the crew. I don't know what the half-life of the smell of White Castle onions are, but I literally walked past the vacant lot on High in Arcadia where there used to be a White Castle and got a giant whiff of White Castle onions.
No, it's not the onions that you're... It's not the lingering scent of onions that you're smelling. It's the lingering scent of that... of the Hustler store that used to be there.
Oh.
Yes, yes. Yes.
That makes sense.
Right, because they put that Hustler store in where the tan place used to be, and now I think it's like a...
Car title loan place.
Hawk your car for cash place. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what you were smelling. It wasn't the White Castle, it was the Hustler store.
Wow, I will not
think...
So
what's the next topic?
I will not think about White Castle the same
way
again.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Hustling. Hustling.
You know,
all right.
You know who that song does not describe?
Me.
The Columbus crew.
No.
I did post something on Facebook that said, you know, I think they're still in this game if they can just find notch number 11.
I remember reading that.
A couple of people responded, how about 6 through 10, and maybe the on switch would be helpful.
So I heard it was an interesting game.
It was not really...
I heard that there was a game that occurred.
There was definitely a game that occurred. The crew lost. You want to talk about Houston first, or you want to talk about Vancouver
first? I don't
really
want to talk
about
Houston.
I mean, it doesn't matter. We're gonna be sad either way.
Yeah. We haven't scored since April 26th.
How many minutes has it been? 723, something like that? 694?
No, 360, long time. I think.
It's
been a long time.
It's been three full matches.
Yeah, since the very tail end of Seattle.
No,
we scored.
Jairo Arrieta scored a penalty kick.
Oh. Forgive me for getting Jairo Arrieta's
New
penalty
York.
Kick.
New York.
Yes, I'm trying to think of when the last time we scored in the run of play was.
Yeah.
Did we score in the run of play in D.C.?
That was D.C., yeah.
Hector Jimenez.
Hector Jimenez.
Right.
In the 90th minute for D.C., so that's been...
A long time.
Matt's
long
trying
time.
To do math, which is not
it's
working
been,
out really.
Let's just
yeah,
say
four
it's
matches.
Been a long time.
It's been four. It's been since the end, so... Oh, what the hell do we need to do, guys?
Well,
it's pretty Justin. Ugly. I don't know if you want to know what I think.
I absolutely want to know what you think.
I do want to know.
We've got an hour.
This is kind of why
we
have a podcast.
Yeah.
So we can say
this is why we invite you onto the show.
This is why we're also not a Major League Baseball podcast, because we would have been yanked off the air by now.
Yeah.
This is. I think what I'm about to say is probably going to piss some people off.
Ooh. Okay.
And like that's this. New because.
Yeah.
It is Monday.
Wait. If it's not me, it's you. So one of us has to do it.
I think. Okay, a little bit of setup here. After Greg Berhalter was hired, the way that he was hired and what we heard was that he's very analytical and he's very stats-oriented, objective. So I immediately went out and I got the numbers game book.
Yeah.
Because I figured that he had read it.
Mm-hmm.
And if he hadn't read it, then it was going to explain some things about it. And it's a really good book, and I've actually reached out to the authors to see if we could get one or both of them on the podcast. And so far, I think... there's a good chance that we can get them on.
Cool.
Which would be great, but it's definitely not like what we are familiar with Robert Warzea. I mean, if you don't, the book is different in that it does. I think the subtitle is Why Everything You Thought You Know About Soccer Is Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it explains some things that maybe people think are counterintuitive, but are statistically, objectively true, mm-hmm. data-driven facts. And if that's kind of explains the way that Greg Berhalter is approaching this, then I think that the goal for the rest of this year is not to win games.
Mm-hmm.
Not to not win games.
No.
But that not winning a game is not important. I think there's a chapter in the book where they talk about Roberto Martinez, who was the coach of Wigan for many years, and now he's the coach at Everton. And the thing that distinguished his tenure at Wigan was that Wigan was at an enormous financial disadvantage to every other club in the Premier League. However, Wigan continued to stay up, almost defying all logic of what Premier League was. But they did it. And so the chapter in that book is called Guerrilla Soccer, G-U-E, Guerrilla Soccer.
Yeah, not like Guerrilla FC Soccer.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like insurgent soccer is basically what they're talking about.
Not big... land mammal.
Right. Okay. Exactly. And
just making sure we're clear.
And so what it describes in there, and it says something in there that I think everyone knows, but not everyone quite understands is that there's a difference between strategy and tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And a strategy is something you have long term. And I think that when Greg Berhalter, our sporting director and now head coach, Greg Berhalter, and our investor operator, Anthony Precourt, came in, they wanted to change everything.
Yeah.
And they're in the process of changing everything. And so they have a long-term strategy. And in a long-term strategy, you have points that you need to hit along the way. And it's easy to have a strategy. Mm-hmm. What's hard to do is have tactics. You can implement tactics during the course of your strategy.
Yes.
But if... what we look at as seeing tactically is that over the course of a week where you have three games, you need to make some player changes to mm-hmm. win those games. Now, if your goal is not to win those games, then your tactics are going to maybe demonstrate that you're not going to win those games. Or if you lose all three of those games and don't score any goals, possibly your tactics are wrong.
Yep.
Possibly your tactics suck. Possibly you're not a very good tactician.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a choice now. Is Greg Berhalter a very poor tactician, or are his tactics not as important as the strategy?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the case. I think that the strategy is to rebuild this team in every way possible. The strategy is not to win. Part of that strategy is not to win games necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that.
Yep.
There should have been changes made over the last... well, you know, even Greg Berhalter said it himself. He's like, I think I tired everyone out. I think I played players who shouldn't have played. And I think what they're sort of revealing is the fact that it's not the Columbus Crew's goal to win games.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very dangerous, I think. Because what you're running the risk of right now is you're running the risk of alienating some hardcore supporters who are basically it for this team. Because we are not growing the fan base. Not with a television deal that where you can't get, people can't watch things. What you're running the risk of doing now is alienating people who go there expecting to be competitive and expecting to win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think all of us know people who go and spend their last $10 on that last installment on their season ticket plan.
Mm-hmm.
Spend their last $10 on the ticket for the game that week. And there are people who are now looking at this and saying, why am I spending this money?
Yeah.
I work really hard, and I'm watching this. It was really bad on Saturday. I don't think people quite understand. If you weren't watching on television, it's hard for us, Chris, myself, you, Sam, to express just how poor that team played.
Yeah.
I think Jairo Arrieta gave a lot of effort. I don't think he's good enough to play in the system that they're playing. I think Josh Williams gives a lot of effort. I don't think he's good enough to be playing in the system that he's playing. I think they're tired, and there's no changes coming. And even changes that are possible in between a Wednesday and a Saturday game, Greg Berhalter chose not to make them.
Yeah.
And I think the reason is because winning is not important. So if you're a fan of the Columbus Crew, my advice is accept it. Allow Greg Berhalter and Anthony Precourt to do what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and be prepared to watch a lot of games where we lose and we don't score any goals. And you're going to hear a lot of people say that they'll probably argue against that. They'll probably say, no, that's not the case. We go out there, we try to win every game. That's fine. I don't doubt that players go out there and try to win every game. I think there's a difference between going out there and trying to win as players on a team,
yeah.
and having an organization between players, coaches, ownership, where your goal is... where your stated goal is winning is everything all the time.
Chris.
I would echo everything that Justin said with this disclaimer. I didn't have to watch the game to get that feeling. I was at a wedding on Saturday night, so I didn't see this one. But I got a few texts and, you know, checked Twitter occasionally and, you know, saw what was going on. And the tone of everything that I said was that this is just – we're obviously rebuilding. And it's becoming one of my buddies, one of my really good friends who I've known for a long time, and I trust his soccer opinion more than most likely my own, said that it's not the system. The system is going to work, but right now it's the players. We don't have the quality of players. Greg does not have the quality of players to pull off the system that he wants to put in place, which indicates to everyone involved it's a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
you know, just from watching the DVR the post game show, because knock on wood, I have Time Warner and I can do that. I watch the post game show, and you know, just from the tone of everything that everyone said, this was a game that was just brutal for everything from the Columbus side, and it just seems to me as though something somewhere has got to change drastically. We either need to bring in a higher quality player, and not one player, I mean players.
Yeah.
Or we need to, or Greg needs to realize that this, the system that he's trying to implement is not going to work. And I don't think that Greg is going to do that. I think that Greg is going to keep trying to bring these players up to the level that they need to be in order to play the system that he wants to put in place.
Yeah, they're sticking with it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the possibility is that you do. You alienate a lot of people. You lose people from saying this is not a competitive team that does not play winning soccer. It's entertaining to watch. From my perspective, I like watching a team that's playing soccer like this. I think that they're trying some new things.
Right.
However, there's not going to be a lot of people who are going to accept that. They're just going to be like, I don't have time to waste
and
for this.
You made a really good point. One of the few tweets that I read, or I can't remember where you said it, but one of the few social media things that I read on Saturday night after the match was that you're going to alienate a lot of the fan base, because a lot of the fan base doesn't have Time Warner Cable. They don't have the ability to watch the game. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, they're not going to see the incremental steps that are taking place week to week to week. They just see score lines where Columbus lost.
Right. Yeah.
And I know that's not exactly what you said, but that was the point of what you said.
No, yeah, you're right. And part of the thing is, I think they look, I don't know if this is the case, but they might be looking at the Blue Jackets and they say, hey, look at all of the attention that the Blue Jackets got. Well, the Blue Jackets have sucked for a lot of years.
For a long time.
Yeah.
No one was going to the games for years, and they didn't go for the first half of this year.
Nobody went to the games this year either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they made the playoffs, and it's the talk of the town, and there's a real good possibility, I hope it's not the case, but there's a good possibility that the Blue Jackets are going to suck next year.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then it's going
to
fail.
Right back
to
square one.
We're going
to
go back to square one. And that's the risk that you run in a town like this. And people say, like, you, it's a very front-runner town. I don't think that's the case. I think it's a case where, again, you know, there's this sense that this is a white-collar town and that white-collar people have disposable incomes and they're privileged. Well, that is not the case. This is a white-collar town where people are working class. They're working white-collars. Mm-hmm. Some of them are, most of them, a lot of them, are underemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a lot of money to spend on these things. You have a fan base over in Columbus, like I said, at the Crew Stadium, where, like I said, these are people who spend the last $10 that they have.
We've all been there.
We've all been there. How many people, after the game on Saturday, I was trying to basically coax people into not giving up on this team. It's going to be really hard to do. And if they think that the way to do that is by rebranding everything and getting a downtown stadium in there, that'll work for a little bit. But we see what happened with Nationwide Arena.
Well, but look at look at Houston.
Yeah.
Look at Houston.
Really good point.
Oh, Houston's brand new stadium, which is amazing, and it's downtown apparently, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
And it's empty.
Well, granted, we saw it. Well, I saw it because I have Time Warner Cable on a Wednesday night.
Keep rubbing that in, Chris.
No, I just have to. I put that disclaimer. I saw it. Disclaimer, because I have Time Warner Cable.
Uh-huh.
Everybody else didn't see it because they don't have Time Warner Cable.
I saw it because Hendox has Time Warner
Cable. Or doesn't they don't know how to pirate a stream.
Yeah.
and that's to no fault of their own. Greg
tried to pirate a stream one time in the bathroom. It was really weird. It was
why is the Aussie doing that? Not surprise me.
We're criminals. You
but
expected
no, I mean, granted, it was a Wednesday night. There we go. Better late than never. Granted, it was a Wednesday night, but that's no excuse.
Kansas City has Wednesday night games.
Yep.
Seattle has Wednesday night games. Portland has Wednesday night
New
games.
New York has a lot of Wednesday night games.
New York does have a lot of Wednesday night games.
The LA Galaxies, they have a Wednesday night game every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Does
Chivas.
Do they? If a game occurs on a Wednesday, nobody goes. Does it actually happen?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question. We're going to come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this. And then what's on tap for the next one? National team? Is that what we're talking? 30-man roster?
TV? I still think we need to touch some more about this topic, but we'll talk national team real quick next
time. Sweet. All right. It's coming back next. This is the Massive Report. Our mother has been absent ever since we founded Rome. But there's going to be a party when the wolf comes home. we're back. It's segment two. This is the Massive Report. Just the one thing that I want us to touch on from this weekend that isn't crew-related but is soccer-related is the fact that Championship Sunday was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And they did the whole thing. NBC did the whole thing that Fox did a few years ago where they aired a match on all of their networks.
Which was totally cool.
Which was very cool. I loved reading the tweets of people just crapping their pants about the fact that the Sci-Fi Channel had a soccer game on at 10 in the morning on a Saturday.
Sunday.
No, Sunday. Saturday. Sunday. Excuse me. It was Sunday. Yes. I misspoke. 10 in the morning on a Sunday. What do you...
Well, I mean, you gotta rewatch Sharknado sometime.
Yeah. My Battlestar Galactica reruns aren't on right now.
Exactly.
And I don't own a DVR, except I claim to be into science fiction.
But I own all of them on DVD.
On videotape.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, sorry, on VHS.
On VHS. Yeah. But, or Betamax.
Hey, well, don't knock the betas.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was... I haven't found too many people tweeting about E! Network having
Esquire.
It on. Or Esquire. But Esquire. I think it's probably because no one watches E! Network at 10 a.m. on a Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it one of the matches on Oxygen?
Oxygen, yes. Oxygen.
And the Oprah Network had it, too.
I think Oxygen... Isn't Oxygen the Oprah Network?
They're different.
No, two different.
Yeah, they're different.
I didn't know that.
I know, right?
You know that because of Rachel, don't you?
Somebody's going to watch Drop Dead Diva, and apparently my fiancé is keeping the franchise alive.
God.
Craig laughed like he knew what I was talking about.
DDD, as he called it. It's DDD time.
You mean Monday.
Yeah.
You should just start calling it Triple D's.
Triple D time.
That could be taken in so many bad ways. But our listenership wouldn't get that, would they?
Mm-mm.
Of course not.
Of course not. So, back on the whole crew thing.
I wanted to say something real quick.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I have a mic this time. My own mic. You know, I agree about 95% with what Justin said.
Uh-huh.
I will say, and I said this to Justin as we were leaving the stadium on Saturday night. I said, you know, even though they lost... It's still easier to watch this team than it was any of our ZS teams.
Yeah, I'd agree with
that.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Having said that, there's one thing that Berhalter said back about, I think after the second or third game, that made me concerned. And maybe it's because I look at it in a different way, but he said something that Warzia said, and that is, we are going to go in and force teams to play our way, not their way. You know, we're going to force our system on these teams. And that really disturbs me. If there's anything that disturbs me, it is that. To me, I look at it as you have a team in front of you that has strengths and weaknesses. My job as a coach is to prepare you to stop the other team's strengths and exploit the other team's weaknesses. In a way, if we're going to say it's a system, in a way that fits that system, maybe not necessarily in a way that fits that system, but if I feel that if I have to leave the system in order to exploit those weaknesses, I will leave that damn system in a heartbeat. And coaches who take that approach of it's either our system or no, and we don't make adjustments to that system, that is my biggest concern. Now, at the beginning of the year, we were taking predictions about where this team is going to be at the end of the year. And I predicted that it will be close, but they will miss the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
And I got a glimmer of hope in the beginning of the year, but the more I watched, the more I realized that it's starting to become predictable. He's not changing the system yet. I'm not saying he doesn't change the system, and I'm not saying I don't trust him, but I think I think he sees what's going on, and I think to a certain degree he's almost buying time to try to figure out how to get around where they've put themselves.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think tactically, I think that's what you're talking about is what I was talking about in the first segment.
Yeah.
Tactically, he's not making the changes to tactically put them in a better spot to win games, because again, I don't think that's their priority. And
we should clarify that we don't want to say that's not their priority, period. That's just not their priority this year.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure that people realize that they want to win games. That's just not their priority this year because they're changing things around.
Yeah, I think that they look at the success of this team as a club, for lack of a better term. And And that means that they need to be financially successful. They need to have carve out a little area, a role, if you will, in the city.
Yeah.
But more importantly, in MLS. And this is where it gets really interesting to me. Because what we're going to have next season are two new teams, if I'm correct.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Orlando City, who's going to announce they're going to announce their crest tomorrow, by the way.
Ooh.
And
New Crest Day.
And New York City.
So I think it's going to be a panda.
It could be a panda, a purple panda.
Love you, Pan Pan.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Purple pirate panda?
Remember the purple pandas from Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
They were all weird. And anyway.
Would Beta get all up in our case if we beat him, though?
If we beat actual pandas or just
theoretical pandas.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, I think we're fine then. No, if you bring actual pandas into the stadium and beat them up while we're playing Orlando,
then there's going to be a whole lot more Galifo sweat going on.
Yeah.
But I think we got a situation where they're going to be playing on a field with not as much space as they think that they're going to have. To formulate your brand, to have a big... Like, one of the reasons why Sporting Kansas City had this big big splash in MLS was because they were kind of alone when they did their thing.
Yes. Yeah. No,
and we're not going to have that luxury.
The market is going to be saturated. But
yeah.
Because they're... So if you consider... No, I know exactly where you're going with that. So considering the two teams that are coming into the league next year, New York and Orlando, they're going to have brand new brands.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new brands. And then Columbus is going to rebrand next year. So that's three...
We're going to be third.
Brand new brands.
We're going to be third.
And guess what? Yep. We're not the new ones.
Yeah.
We're the old ones that are trying to reinvent ourselves.
And we might actually be fourth out of three because
Beckham
Stadium is going to be making news as they go.
Did San Jose switch to their new crest already?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And nobody remembers that. And they didn't have an expansion franchise.
And they didn't say anything.
Well.
It just kind of... All of a sudden, they just changed their Twitter logo.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Literally. I mean, that's all I saw.
And put on new shirts. Yeah.
But, I mean, so this is going to be a big issue for us. So I think that's what they're doing is they're kind of saying, this is the year we're going to make our big splash. And then I think that they're undervaluing the value of winning in this city. And not because, like I said earlier, it's not because this town only supports a winner. It's just because you've got to make it, you've got to prove that you're doing something worthwhile. And the best way to do that is by winning soccer matches.
And I agree with that. I just don't, I think that they realize that they literally have 1 year from the time that they bought where they're theoretically not expected to win. I'm saying theoretically.
Yes. Theoretically.
They are buying, they are banking on the fact that theoretically they're not expected to win right now. Wait until 1 year is through. Now, us as hardcore fans don't look at it the same way, probably because we follow that team more closely.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that this is my thought, is that they're thinking about it the same way any other team moves from one city to another or gets new ownership or gets new coach.
Mm-hmm.
They get a pass that first year, and then in the second year...
There will be no pass.
Then in the second year... I mean, look at what happened with Ziggy in 06. You know, you didn't get the results that you were expecting. Missed the playoffs by 2 points?
Well, that was 2007.
2007.
Yeah, it was 2007.
2006
and 2006 was, So, I mean, you're almost expected that first year under new ownership or new coach or both, which is obviously the situation, that you're going to get a pass. And I think they're banking on that. So, it's ill-timed, and it's not something that they could have had any hand in.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't have expedited that rebrand. I don't think that would have been possible.
We've got
to be done properly.
Yeah.
They still might screw it up, even with a year, but...
Two things that they're missing too, though, is this is a World Cup year. Don't underestimate how important that is.
Yes,
the reason why the MLS just made $700 million is because this is a World Cup year, and they're looking, there's value there. And then the other issue is, I just forgot. Never mind.
Chris, you were going to say something before I stopped.
This is a World Cup year, and
and brain lock.
And Purple Panda.
You said earlier about how they want to make teams. Let's talk about the tactics of this team then. Like you were talking about how they want to make teams
play
their style.
Yeah.
Do you know who played their style? Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Yeah.
Vancouver played the exact same formation, the exact same, almost the exact same philosophy on the field.
They just did it better.
And they kicked the crap out of us.
Yep.
I mean, that game should have been 5-0.
I have to say something. There is, you know, I think you said it at the beginning of the year. I think you wanted to ask Steve Clark, or you were asking the masses, is it okay to let one goal in per game as long as we score more than one?
Right.
Or one or
yeah,
more.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also said this to Justin on Saturday. I was like, you know, It's a great thing that we have Steve Clark, because it takes a hell of a shot to beat the man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know what? Saturday's goal was a hell of a shot that beat the man.
It was a wicked shot.
I mean, there's nothing he could have done about it. But, this situation could have been much worse. If you think of how many critical saves he's made throughout the year,
mm-hmm.
we could have been in much worse shape.
Yes. Oh. No, absolutely. You just made me forget again. So again, I have Time Warner Cable. So Dwight Burgess said,
"Time Warner Cable."
I know it's crazy, right? Time Warner Cable.
We're gonna start this. We're gonna make this into a drinking game.
Yeah, we totally are. Dwight Burgess said something on the post game show that nobody saw because nobody else has Time Warner Cable, which is a very good point and relates to the fact that that yes, we have a philosophy, and Greg has a system that he wants to play. And that worked at the beginning of the year, but now teams are learning what that system and what that philosophy is, and the onus now comes back to Greg and back to the coaching staff to change.
But isn't that what we had? Isn't that the problem that we had 2 years ago with Higuain?
I'm sorry, 2 years ago? You mean last year with Bobby?
No, 2 years ago with Higuain. Higuain comes in, Higuain does well, and all of a sudden everybody realizes that all we're going to do is pass the ball to Higuain.
Yes.
Isn't that the same refrain we've heard about the Columbus Crew since 2000?
But then you can look at players, the great players, Guillermo being one, Higuain being another, just to name two, who realized that opponents had figured them out and changed the way they played.
Yeah,
Guillermo scored a lot of goals in the beginning, and then opponents figured that out. And then in the 2008 when we, or I'm sorry, 2009, he started leading in assists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so changed the way that he played because opponents have figured him out. It now falls on Greg because teams have figured out the methodology that he's going to use and his philosophy for winning a soccer game. Teams have figured that out. It falls on Greg to change that philosophy. Be that change the formation, go to a 4-4-2, a 3-4 whatever, a 3-5-9 whatever. It falls on Greg
3-5-9.
That would win some games.
That would win a lot of games.
9 forwards.
I was going to make a Man City 119 joke, but it got meshed in my brain.
I think we should try a 3-5-9.
Yeah, you know,
I think it's a great idea.
Why not?
Hashtag 3-5-9.
Hashtag 3-5-9.
It falls on Greg to change the way that he coaches.
You know, you brought up something that reminded me of a conversation I had at a youth soccer game yesterday. A Crew fan. Very big Crew fan was talking to me, and he was saying, "Boy, that was awful."
Was it Gino Padula?
No.
Was it Shmino Spanula?
It was somebody else, and just a regular guy, and you know, he's like, "Boy, that was terrible." And I said, "Yeah, it was, but you know," and I kind of talked to him about what I think. It's like, you know, you guys got to stick with this over the long term, because I think that's what
was it Brad Friedel?
It was Brad Friedel. It was. But no, and I was talking about, you know, the difference. He says, "Well, what do you think they can do to change things?" And I said, a very simple thing is, I think something that we've talked about on this podcast for weeks now. Let's kind of slow down Josh Williams and Waylon Francis.
Yes.
Just slow them down.
Yeah.
But I know it's hard for them because they want to. You know, they're athletes, and they want to go out and perform very well.
They ate all those Skittles before the game.
Yeah, and they're hyped up, and they want to prove what they can do. And so they want to make these runs all of the time. And there's no one putting the brakes on them. They're always up there. And it's incredibly predictable. Like, there are times when but now they're getting in the way. And, like, there are times when Josh Williams is literally stepping on the feet of Federico Higuain. I mean, there's no... This should not happen, but it happens. And so the difference, I said, here's the reason why this is great. Why if you teach those guys a little bit better about not coming forward all the time, you can have a situation like what we had in 2008, 2009, where you had Gino and Frankie,
mm-hmm.
who were incredibly smart.
Mm-hmm.
Situational overlaps.
Yes, they knew when to make those runs, when to surprise the opposition.
And not burn themselves out.
Yeah. And they were definitely not as great athletes as Josh Williams and Waylon Francis. But my goodness, were they smart. The best play I may have ever seen at Crew Stadium was when Frankie Hajduk, late in the match, like the 93rd minute in the 2009 game against TFC, made a run up the right side from his fullback position and sent across to the far post that was on a dime. And Jason Gary he slam dunked it. And mm-hmm. they won the yep. game 3-2, and it was the greatest play. And I've never heard that stadium since 2008. I can't remember a time when that stadium erupted quite like that. Now that's something that we can teach. That's something that Josh Williams and Waylon Francis can do, but it's going to take a change in tactics from the head coach.
Hey, who played midfield for those 2008-2009 yep. teams?
Besides
Brian Carroll.
Brian Carroll.
Oh yeah, Brian Carroll.
And who played in front of him?
Emmanuel Ekpo played a lot. Yeah. Played there.
No, he played on the wing.
Emmanuel Ekpo played. Remember the Ekpo experiment?
The
Ekpo experiment happened. Right. You also had Eddie Gavin.
Okay, Robbie Rogers was in the midfield.
Yeah. And all three guys that we just talked about all play offense.
Yes.
They're all offensive-minded players.
Exactly.
Yes.
You have now Will Trapp, which I think Will Trapp is going to grow up to be a good Brian Carroll.
Absolutely.
I think he's
going to grow up to be a good Brian Carroll.
Yeah, I think he's. If we're lucky, he'll grow up to be a Kyle
Beckham. No. If we're lucky, he'll grow up to be Michael Bradley. If he follows the course
he's
on, he's
not going to be Michael.
No. He'll grow up to.
Although, if he would have scored that shot on Saturday, that would have been totally it. But I think. I don't know what Tony Chani has on people in the crew.
Oh my goodness,
Jesus Christ!
Sam, take.
And I'm not sure
just,
I want to know.
Talk for about 3 or 4 minutes.
No,
this.
No, because
please.
we're already past our break time.
Dear
but
Tony Chani.
I want to say that this is really here's the thing, and I'm going to balance this out. Tony Chani played a fantastic defensive game on Saturday.
Yeah,
he actually ripped balls from players that you did not expect Tony to be able to rip so smoothly with his giant arms. Okay. Having said that, he would turn around and make an awful pass to an opposing team player on the offensive side. So you pretty much nullified what he just did on one side and on the other.
He felt bad about it.
We need to have an offensive-minded player. If you're going to play with two mids in that quote-unquote diamond formation, that front mid needs to be an offensive-minded player.
Augustin Viana did some good stuff against Houston.
They did.
And I think he has an aggressive impulse.
And so does Paladini. I mean, Paladini got a yellow against Houston in the 5-10 minutes that he was in.
I think Viana has a confidence that, sometimes it might be misplaced. But he wants to attack. And, I agree with you totally about that. I think that'd make a huge difference.
Well, we'll talk about that next segment because you already said we're already late for the break. So we're going to come back.
Wait. I before we wrap the segment up, Sam was talking about Tony Chani. It reminded me of this idea that I had with a few friends of mine. The first transaction, Sam, you go start the music. This isn't going to take very long.
Okay.
The first transaction that Coach Greg needs to make
mm-hmm.
in this upcoming transfer window is Tony Chani and a bag of pretzels for Julia Esch.
I like this. I like this. This sounds great.
Julia.
Yeah, Julia. Yeah.
Trade Tony to DC.
I say Julian Green.
Trade Tony to DC for Julia.
Could you imagine Julia playing offensive midfield? I mean, some people will get torn up.
Oh, my God.
She'd just scream at them.
Yes. They'd all go deaf.
We're going to be back in just a second. It's the Massive Report. We're gonna talk apparently.
Do we have to?
Oh, my talking.
Segment three.
Oh,
I don't know.
Look at that.
Sam's looking at me, and I'm like, I don't know. You're turning the gears.
Yeah, I just wanted to say
generally when I point, that means start talking.
I just wanted to
We've
say...
We've been doing this for 108 episodes,
sir. There
were
boobs outside, Sam.
What do you mean, were?
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
I did. Who loves this campus? Giant picture of Tony Galifo is blocking so many... Tony is cock-blocking me, and he's not even here.
Galifo sweat in full effect.
Justin? Yeah, I just want to say I believe in Greg Berhalter. There you go.
Aww.
I just capoed you. everyone go ahead and say that. No, seriously.
I do too.
There was a joke there, but
everyone else should as well. I know there's a lot of people who are saying Zach Werzea right now.
Hashtag.
Yeah, hit. Hashtag Zach Werzea, and I think...
Haters gonna hate.
We get it.
Yes. Oh, and don't forget about...
But you're wrong.
Hashtag hire Guillermo.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
We get it. We get it. But you're wrong.
All right, so let's...
I like that.
Let's talk national team roster for just a couple of minutes here. Goalkeepers.
Hey.
Start with the goalkeepers. Not a whole lot of surprises here. Tim Howard.
Who?
I don't know who that is.
I have no idea who that is.
Brad Guzan. Nick Raimondo. That's kind of... Chris, this is why we can't have nice things.
I'm sorry. Did I spill beer?
Yes, you did.
What?
Yes, you did.
I didn't even touch the table. Was that the problem?
Yeah, finally,
the ghost,
I'm not the only person.
The Hendox ghost table.
Board.
Yeah, so, but you were the first.
I was the first.
Anyway,
that's better.
Plus, you spilled a full beer.
So are we gonna take? I'm assuming we're gonna take three goalkeepers to the World Cup.
Sure.
Probably. Yeah. Definitely. So there's really nothing to talk about as far as cutting anybody there. Defenders: DeMarcus Beasley, Matt Beisler. John Brooks, Jeff Cameron, Timmy Chandler, Brad Evans, Omar Gonzalez, Clarence Goodson, Fabian Johnson, Michael Parkhurst, and DeAndre Yedlin.
Wild.
I really, 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 really a lot hope that Michael Parkhurst and DeAndre Yedlin come down to like a dead heat as to who's going to go to Brazil.
Yeah.
And Michael Parkhurst goes and DeAndre Yedlin stays with Chad Marshall.
Yeah, I think DeAndre Yedlin was brought in to... be a practice player.
Yeah.
I think he's there's no chance.
He's the Rudy of the U.S. national team.
Yeah, kind of.
Except for Rudy got to play
in a game that didn't matter.
Yeah,
and only because everybody else voted for him. Have you seen DeAndre Yedlin's hair? Nobody's going to vote for him. Like nobody's going to be like, excuse me, Coach Klinsmann. We really, really need DeAndre Yedlin to play just because he's such a great guy. He's such a wonderful individual, and he's worked so hard for so long. We really need him to go out there and play with us for the last 3 minutes of this completely inconsequential game.
Yeah.
And coach,
do we play do we play Navy at the end of the World Cup? Is that the final match?
Yes, that's the final match.
That would be awesome.
That's on July 1st.
Yeah. On an aircraft carrier.
But they'll have to cancel it halfway through because of condensation on the floor.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if, like, on the aircraft carrier they had
natural... How many people
actually
got that reference?
Me and Eric Paxton.
It would be great if on the...
I mean, I got that reference, too, but, yeah.
Right. On the aircraft carrier, if they actually had, natural grass.
Which would mean... And
are you saying they can't roll it in?
No.
Which would mean the aircraft carrier has a better surface than
Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. And
also
we can't grow grass here. It's an aircraft carrier. There's F-14 Tomcats landing.
On a smooth meadow of grass.
They just keep it for a couple of days, and it just gets a bunch of mud. And F-14, skids.
And then when the mud happens, that's when the volleyball game happened.
And they're like this. And then they're like, this aircraft carrier is totally wrecked. What do we do with it now? Give it to Australia.
Hey, give it to the boys.
Pretty much how it works, actually.
In that scenario, DeAndre Yedlin would be the guy going, Mother goes, you pussy!
The bump at the end of this, the bump at the end of this segment has to be hanging with the boys from Top.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I'm going with the theme.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He is going with the theme. I can't really ruin it at this point.
What is the
theme? And this whole aircraft carrier thing, even though it's not an aircraft carrier, but it's starting to remind me of Down Periscope.
You mean
oh
it's
my
not?
God.
It's not the Hunt for October?
It's not. All right, midfielders, Graham Zuzzi, Jermaine Jones, Julian Green, Marisa Du, Mix Diskerud, Brad Davis.
Mix?
Diskerud! Joe Corona, Michael Bradley, Andrejo Bedoya, and Adam Dorothy.
Alejandro
Bedoya.
Alejandro. No, I was reading DeAndre at the same time I was reading Alejandro, and I just completely...
DeAndre Bedoya.
DeAndre Bedoya is what I said, and Adam Duritz from the Counting Crows.
Oh my god!
Everybody was wondering why I was going in reverse alphabetical order.
Yeah, that was
for
pretty
that.
Good. That was excellent.
So let's talk about forwards.
Dating Courtney Cox, by the way.
Yeah. Sorry, that was me.
This is 1998.
Yeah, Duritz is going. That's a thing. Michael Bradley's going. Mix Diskerud's going. Who's not in this list?
Oh, in the, from the midfielders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't Brad, think Brad Davis.
Brad Davis is not going. I don't think Joe Corona is going.
I don't think that that Alejandro Bedoya is going.
I don't either.
DeAndre Bedoya.
DeAndre Bedoya.
I've just renamed him.
Yes.
Julian Green would be really remarkable if he went. If that kid goes to the World Cup, then I think one of the cool things I think that Klinsmann is doing is he's also bringing in players for the next cycle.
Yeah.
He's saying these are going to be the guys who we're going to build around for the Olympics in 2016 as well as the World Cup in 2018.
Is that why Sean Johnson's not on the roster?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep
just
him
double
away.
Checking.
You know who else is not going to the World Cup for a midfielder for the U.S. national men's team?
Who?
Or Robbie Rogers.
He's not.
No.
Yeah, that's sad.
Neither is Breck Shea.
Womp.
Yeah, no Breck Shea.
Yeah, no Breck Shea.
That actually did stick out to me is that Breck Shea is not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There are jokes there, but I'm not going to make them.
No Federico Higuain.
Yeah, and
or Gonzalo, according to the Houston broadcast.
Gonzalo's not going either.
They called Federico Gonzalo at least four or five times.
Really?
Gonzalo's definitely going, but he's going for a team that can actually win the World Cup.
I was listening to Dwight and Chris because I have Time Warner Cable, so I didn't get to hear
drink.
That.
Drink.
So Justin hit that water.
No, my night.
Are we
good
with the roster? Because we have a question from the
forwards. Okay, we got one more. We got forwards.
Okay.
We already did the forwards. Josie Altidore, Terrence Boyd, Clint Dempsey, Landon Donovan, Aaron Johansson, and Chris Wondolowski.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
So.
I think Wando goes.
Wando, Dempsey, and Donovan are probably.
Yeah, I think Wando goes.
I think that Wando goes.
I do.
Wando goes ahead of Aaron Johansson.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because Wando, and forgive me for saying this, I realize that I'm about to commit U.S. national team blasphemy. But Wando
we've already booed Michael Bradley. It couldn't get any worse.
That's true. Simon Borg. Like anybody pays attention to him.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
He's doing God's work.
He's a peach.
No, I think that Chris that Wando goes ahead of your Aaron Johansson because Wando has a higher work rate and Wando will do whatever the crap it takes to put the ball in the net.
Wow,
you know, I think
really
Wando will be the asshole necessary on that forward corps.
Wando is the guy that's going to go
not
out and
necessarily
break a leg.
For scoring. He's going to be just the jerk.
Wait, we need an asshole, and we've got Clint Dempsey.
Well,
Clint Dempsey will just give you the stink face.
No,
come on.
No, a guy who acts like an asshole, not a physical anus.
Oh,
I'm actually going to have to go back and bleep a lot of this episode.
I was about to say that word again.
I got
to
disagree.
I said anus. I didn't say.
I got to disagree though. I think Aaron Johansson is one of these players that he definitely wants to keep around.
It's going
to
be the one show my mom listens to all the
time. I know, right?
I think he definitely wants to keep him around for 2018.
Yeah.
And I think if he... I don't know, man. That's tough.
But that would be one of those things where, like, oh, you got so close, but just not close enough.
Oh, that's hard
but
to say.
How many
he
forwards,
scored 20
how
goals
many
in
forwards
the Eredivisie, blah, blah, blah.
So, wait, no.
And then, like, Terrence Boyd scored 20 goals. That's another thing. He's the reason why he got called up. He's scoring goals like crazy in the Austrian Bundesliga.
The Austria Liga?
He's playing for, I believe, Rapid Wiener is the team he's playing for. Rapid Vienna. That's
Rapid
how it's.
Vienna.
Yeah.
It's fast sausages.
By the way, breaking news: it's going to the rebrand is going to be the Columbus Rapid Wieners.
By the way,
VFB. Yeah.
By the way, me and one Mr. Greg Benson were playing NHL 13 last night, and there is a team in Germany whose name is Grizzly Adams.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Hey, did you guys?
And they don't have away jerseys; they just have white shirts.
They just everybody brings a T-shirt.
Yeah,
it's because they keep
shirts
it real.
Versus skins.
I think they actually wear flannel over the top of it.
Yeah. So, and beards,
like Carhartt jackets or something.
Yeah,
don't knock
beards.
The Carhartt.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just.
All right. What's
so
the
anyway?
Like
what's the interwebs question?
We have a question.
Yes, which should be really obvious to us by now. The question is: who's going to replace Parker, Gonzalez, and Francis in the lineup?
Ah, this is a good question.
And
we're
back to
your
tactics.
Obvious question.
Yeah,
you
thanks,
are.
Thanks, sir. Was that Nate?
No, it's a crew V_man.
Oh, Crew Veeman.
Hey, good guy.
Crew Veeman. Yeah,
friend of the show.
He's a good dude.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, yeah. The answer is Eric Gehrig.
All of them.
Actually, yes.
By the way, I saw Eric Gehrig at the game on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Dressed very well.
Oh, yeah, because he was not in uniform.
He's a fancy dresser.
Yeah, dude's got some style.
He probably came from a wedding.
He might have. Was he at the same wedding you were at?
He may have been.
No, I think Eric Gehrig's definitely going to be one of the guys. Another guy, Tyler Wall. And then
Tyler Wall?
Tyson Wall.
Tyson Wall. We are awesome.
This podcast is about renaming players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eleanor Graffiti will also be... will also be in uniform.
Do you remember Susie Wadd?
That was actually how his name was spelled.
Susie Wadd,
who used to play the
teleperformance.
2FM 96.
Yeah. And Caltech.
Yeah.
And Julia.
Susie Wadd will be playing. No, but
Julia Ash as well.
Julia Ash.
No, but yeah. You mentioned the guy who I think everyone's kind of itching to see. Greg Barson.
Wait, Greg
Chad,
Barson?
Chad Barson.
Greg Barson.
Chad Barson.
Right here. No.
I might be getting a call up at this rate. I don't know.
You know, you actually raise a really good point.
I mean, at one point he did play against Tim Cahill.
Mentioning Greg Barson.
Buck Reinhardt? Is that the guy we're going to... Buck Reinhardt?
The question is, when does Berhalter strap on the cleats and go out and be like, let me show you how to do this?
No, seriously.
Are you asking him to pull a Giggsy?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Alfonso Higuain.
No, seriously, though. I mean, all joking aside, I think Chad Barson is going to be the guy who we get to see a lot and has a real good chance to make some... headway in getting back into the starting 11.
Chad Barson, Augustin Viana, and Eric Gehrig will all of a sudden be... He'll move from the friends and family section of the stands to the bench. Yeah, I think that's who's going to fill in.
And Tyson Wall, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we got some players who can fill in.
I can definitely see
Josh playing center and Chad playing outside.
Yeah.
So Josh and Eric Gehrig would play center, which they've played together for at least 2 years.
Yeah. I can see that being effective.
And then you have Tyson Wall, who played left back, and Augustin Viana, who played left back.
And the other thing, too, up top, I think it's Justin Merrim.
In place of Ira Arrieta?
Yeah, I think.
If Arrieta goes.
Yeah.
No, well, he's an alternate, so he's not going to go, but he's going to be, like, ready five on sitting on the catapult waiting for the call.
Here you go.
On that aircraft carrier. Is that how they get people to Brazil?
I'm trying to think of some other name we can. I've been racking my brain for other name I can just completely mangle.
Really? It's taken you this long?
Yeah, I lost.
You mean like?
I thought like the Greg Barson one was awesome.
Ben Sweet.
Ben
Sweat.
Is he still around?
Sweat. Yeah.
Is he really?
And Matt Wyatt.
I forgot he existed.
Oh, boy.
I think Kelsey Grammer gets a shot.
What about Waylon Jennings?
Waylon Jennings.
Andreas Mendoza, the Giant.
Who's? Yeah. Hey, is Steve Viana gonna do anything?
Steve Viana. Good. Steve Viana sounds like a wrestler. He really does, like one of those
Stone
wrestlers.
Stone Cold Steve Viana.
And in this corner, weighing in.
Well, you know, like I mentioned earlier, Volvo Vargas.
Volvo Vargas.
Vargas.
Right.
I like Volvo Vargas.
Volvo Vargas. Right. Daniel Palindrome. I mean, I got them all. I could go all night.
He, you know, the thing about Daniel Palindrome is he's as good going forward as he is back.
That's why he's a midfielder. Yeah.
He's very responsible.
That puts a whole new definition on box to box.
Oh my god. All right.
They're jokes, but I'm not going to.
Stick the fork in this one, Sam. We're going to come back.
FIFA Baden.
At some point, I guess we're going to talk.
Danny
other
Double
stuff.
Down.
TV deal.
And I guess we play Portland this week, so we'll talk about that as well.
Do we have to?
I don't know if we have to, but we will.
We should talk about the TV deal because that's significant.
Yeah. Somewhat. Is it with Time Warner? Sports Cable Network of Ohio. I don't know. It's the Massive Report. We're coming back.
Johnson Avenue in San Luis Obispo, and I'm 5 years old or six maybe. And indications that there's something wrong with our new house. Trip down the wire twice daily. I'm in the living room watching the Watergate hearings while my stepfather yells at my mother. Launches a glass across the room, straight at her head, and I dash upstairs to take cover, leaning close to my little record player on the floor. So this is what the volume knob's for. I listen to dance music. Dance music.
That's what the volume knob was for.
It was the volume knob's for. I was not paying attention because Chris Lamacchia started spilling things all over the place again.
You pointed at me and you said raise it up, and I raised it up, and then you looked at me and you just didn't say anything.
How are you popping your mic this much when you're the one controlling the volume?
Because I'm talking to you in anger.
This is my angry pop.
This is my anger face. My name is Sam. This is my anger face.
I control the volume knobs.
So I have to tell a quick Greg Benson story because this just happened.
Literally moments ago.
Emily, can you come here for just a
Breaking
second?
Breaking news.
Can you come here for just a second? This is Emily Grimm. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
long-time caller, first-time listener.
Ooh. That just went in a totally different direction. So,
jumped up.
Emily, you walked by the bar, and you're like, oh, it's a bar, and it's daylight out. Greg must be inside.
I knew the massive report was going on, and I was just like walking, and I have nothing better to do, so I'm just like walking by, and I'm like, I guarantee Greg's inside this bar right now, because I know he does this every Monday.
Oh.
So then I just like waved when I went by the door, and then I just came in. So.
Nice. She's an avid fan. She knows that any time on a Monday between 7 and 9, Handocks, that's where we're going to be.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is very true. I have a follow-up question. Uh-huh. Where's your beer?
Yeah.
I drank one before I
went. No, the beer
walk.
That you got when you...
I didn't get one because I don't
So you're not sticking
anything.
Around?
I wasn't planning on it.
Well, that's I don't know, your loss.
Buy the nice lady a beer, Greg. Gosh.
Okay.
Seriously.
No, seriously.
Go get a beer, put it on Greg's tab.
Seriously.
Exactly.
It's Endox. I have a tab.
Yes. Yes.
I should say I'm very proud of her for knowing that the podcast is here.
Yes.
7 through 9-ish.
I know.
Sometimes 10, sometimes midnight.
Every day.
It's midnight. It's nice to know that we actually have followers who keep up with what we're doing.
Who stop by.
Who stop by and actually...
Wait. Actually, Justin made a very good point earlier, and we're going to revisit an earlier topic because we digress. That's what I do on the show. That's my job, is to digress.
It's what we all do.
Right. Justin made a very good point about Julia earlier, about how Julia's been to... Julia, for those of you who don't know, Julia Ash, friend of the show, literally a friend of all of ours.
Yes. And she's only three apples high.
She lives in Washington, D.C. Actually lives inside the district of Columbia.
No, she lives in Bethesda.
No, I've been to her house.
I have too. It's in Bethesda.
No,
anyway,
it's
continue.
Okay.
No, it's in Bethesda.
It's in the D.C. area.
So I was drunk most of the time.
It's in the Beltway.
In any case, she lives outside 270, but she has been to
New Jersey.
More home games. She has been to more home Columbus Crew games this year than I have, and more Massive Report podcasts than most of, well, our listeners.
Yeah.
Which means
Nate Beckman.
Than Nate Beckman. Yeah. And Jim Bach.
Yeah.
Calling you out
there. And, yeah, we're calling him out.
Which is weird because Jim Bach's my roommate.
It would be really easy
for him to remember when it is.
My point in saying all this is we record every Monday night at Handocks between the hours of 6:45 and midnight.
2375 North High Street, Columbus, by the way.
2375 North High Street, Columbus. So if you ever want to stop and hang out and have a beer or six and talk a little bit of Crew soccer and a whole lot of jokes, you should do it, because we have a really good time, and I don't know about you guys. I'm getting sick of doing it with you guys.
Yeah.
Let's get some new people in here.
I will say, as with most radio and or podcast shows, some of the best conversations happen off the air.
Off the air. Yes.
And it's not that we don't want you to be privy to it. It just happens.
It happens.
And then you can't really recreate it.
Yeah,
or you
tried
try
that
it
once
sucks.
And it we didn't know. Happen. Yeah.
The one thing that I will say on that, just as a caveat to all of that.
Beers.
Yeah, $2 beers, $2 which
beers,
is pretty cool. But the caveat to that is while we are here every Monday, we will not be here on Memorial Day.
We won't.
We will not.
We will
I'm
not.
Gonna put that on my calendar real
We
fast.
Will yes. actually have
there
that
will
is,
be a podcast.
That is our live feed night.
Oh, we're doing a live feed
we're
for that
gonna,
one?
We're doing
a live
feed from Sam's patio.
From my patio.
From Sam's country bunker.
So
Sam's strawberry field bunker.
Yeah.
Strawberry Farm.
Strawberry Farms.
Somebody else.
It's all the same.
Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully my yard will look not like a jungle.
If not, we'll point the camera at your house.
That's right.
There we go.
Can we have your kids just randomly run on the show?
Yes, we can.
My kids will randomly run on the show.
That's fantastic.
I love Alex.
I think this is the best thing ever.
He's the coolest kid in the world. All right. So we should talk about some TV deals.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Speaking of live streams.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Speaking of live streams, for those of you that don't have Time Warner Cable, like me.
Drink. So Major League Soccer announced today that they have signed a landmark TV deal. And it's apparently, why is it, oh, it says, I got your email and my email for this, Chris, because apparently I'm on the what you call it, the mailing list. Yeah, the hooligan mailing list.
I got to take you off of that.
Yeah, no, I know. I should probably do something if I want to stay on that. So Univision, ESPN, and Fox. Those are the, so there's a whole lot of different stuff on this. Does anybody have, you've got it up now, Justin. Yeah.
Justin,
so do you
want to
read off what it is? Because I'm sitting here trying to pull it up and because my browser crashed.
You mean in terms of money?
Well, do money
because
first.
Because he's an Android.
Do money and, right. And coverage.
So the deal is for 7 years, 2015 to 2022, Fox and ESPN have paying a combined total of $600 million. That's $75 million a year. And Univision is paying $120 million for their 7 years. That's $15 a year. $15 million a year.
Sounds about right.
So the total is $90 million. For
you mean $900
million?
$900 million, yeah.
That's almost...
No, $90 million per
for
year.
Univision. Yeah. Oh, for Univision.
And then $720 million
total.
So it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
So did Precourt just make, like, the majority of his money back?
No, I think...
I'm buying
because they divided according to wins.
Yeah, if you divide it up amongst all of the teams that are going to be in the league, I think it's going to add... Well, let's see. Say you have $90 million per year.
Yeah.
You divide that by, say, 22 teams, you're making about $4 million per year.
It's not bad.
No, it's pretty good. I mean, basically, That's doubling the salary cap almost.
Does that include the NBC deal as well? Or is that completely separate?
The NBC deal is done.
NBC deal
it's
is
done.
Done.
It's
yeah.
done.
It's
yeah. finished. This is the yes. final year for NBC. This deal goes into effect at the beginning of 2015.
The NBC deal was for 2012 through 2014. It was $30 million. It's 3 years. It's $10 million per year. So it's a big boost.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge jump. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the one thing that I saw is the primary games for ESPN are going to be on ESPN2.
Yes.
Right.
The majority of the games for Fox will be on Fox Sports 1.
All of them.
All of them will. Yeah, okay. Yes. That's good. Yeah. And then Unimas will be the Univision, which...
Friday Night Lights. There we go.
Well, I shouldn't say all of them are going to be on Fox Sports 1. It says primarily.
Yeah.
Occasionally
they'll air something on the mothership, Fox.
Yes.
Channel 8 for those of you that have Time Warner Cable.
Drink.
Drink.
You love me.
Yeah. Or on FXX.
I think ESPN will finally actually have ESPN, the Ocho, just for MLS.
Probably.
Well, so no. One of the other more interesting things about this is that ESPN3 is going to take over streaming duties, which means there's going to be... I'm not sure on the details. I'm still a little bit fuzzy about this, but I'm pretty sure that's going to do away with MLS Live.
MLS Live is gone.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Live is going to go away.
And possibly Direct Kick.
Direct Kick is going to go away, which means that if you don't have Time Warner Cable...
Drink. No, actually, that's not true.
It's complicated.
Yeah, because...
Well, so my gut is telling me that if you don't have Time Warner Cable, you're still not going to be able to watch the Columbus
Crew. So here's what's going to happen. Is if you have ESPN and ESPN2, those are on what's called Watch ESPN.
Right.
And so you can... Most of your cable companies have access to ESPN and ESPN2, so you're going to be able to watch them on Watch ESPN. They said that Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2, these are for national broadcasts. They're going to be on Fox Sports Go, which I think is basically Fox Soccer 2 Go. They're probably going to change
it. It's their app, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, there's the whole other aspect of, which is the out-of-market games, which is what you get on MLS Live and Kick, MLS.
Direct Kick.
And this is where it gets questionable, because ESPN3 is not Watch ESPN.
Yeah.
It's a whole different entity.
Yeah. ESPN3, you can watch on Watch ESPN, but ESPN3.com is something that if you don't have cable... You can get it,
mm-hmm.
but it's
your internet provider has to have a deal with ESPN.
So if you have Roku or Apple TV, or, I mean,
like I can get ESPN 3 because I have WoW.
Right, not every...
I know I can because I've watched ESPN 3 on my computer.
Let me read from the press release real fast. Major League Soccer's out-of-market package, currently serviced through the MLS Live and MLS Direct Kick packages, will be available to a wider audience via ESPN 3, ESPN's live multi-screen sports network, currently in more than 92 million homes. And Watch ESPN, available to fans who receive their video or internet subscription from affiliated provider like a cable company.
DirecTV does not count.
No. Featuring more than 200 MLS matches a year, the MLS out-of-market package will also be available via over-the-top services such as Google Play, iTunes, Apple TV, Roku, and others. Here's the interesting part. With a national television broadcast anchored on Fridays and Saturdays, MLS clubs will have exclusivity on Saturdays, allowing for additional flexibility to schedule games. All of the Saturday MLS matches will be available via the new out-of-market package on ESPN3 and MLS and Watch ESPN, which means that all of Saturday's games will be available on ESPN3 or Watch ESPN, no matter who's carrying them.
But
that's
then,
the way that I read that.
I don't understand how you see that, but then where do local blackout restrictions come in?
Oh, that depends. Has anybody called Mark McCullers yet?
According to Jardy's blog, which I saw late today, was they haven't responded.
Yeah,
they said no comment yet.
That's TBD.
It's probably going to be blacked out.
How long is the the deal between the Columbus Crew and Time Warner Cable?
2 years.
Two years.
I got a drink again.
So that means that. I mean, this is going to start in the middle of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so what happens then is, I can't imagine that the Columbus
Crew... They had
to
have signed a deal that had some sort of opt-out.
Sort of writer in it.
Right. Yeah. They had to have. So, I mean, this is going to be the next step.
Well, that begs the question. If the Columbus Crew signed a deal with Time Warner Cable that has a writer in it that says, you know, if there's some other thing that happens, then who is going to carry non-nationally televised Columbus Crew matches next year?
Is it
going to be Time Warner Cable under new rules and regulations as far as blackouts go, or are we going back to
the Bravo Network?
No, Matt, Oxygen. It's Esquire.
Watch Esquire. What happens. What happens.
Live.
If you remember that I brought that up to McCullers when he came to talk about the TV deal, and I said there's a national TV deal coming up between MLS that they're trying to figure out, how is that going to affect it? And he did say that whatever comes out of that deal will affect that agreement. So there's got to be certain writers that MLS will override whatever local broadcasting
MLS's
agreement.
Lawyers aren't that stupid.
Well, my sense is that there's going to be obviously some big local deals between teams and local providers because the Yankees have their own network.
Yes. Yeah. It's called Yes.
Yes. This is going to – I can't imagine that New York City FC – isn't going to be carried on network.
No, they're going to be on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel Manhattan.
Or MSG. Or on MSG.
Because why would you air it on MSG if you own your own channel?
If you have
Yankees on?
No, because the Red Bulls are on MSG already.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So put NYCFC on Yes.
But then
if you have, unless Yes has an alternate, if the Yankees are playing at the same time,
If they're named after the Yankees, they're probably not going to bump them for NYCFC.
I'm pretty sure that the Yankee Entertainment Sports Network has
Do they have an alternate? Is it like Yes 2 or is it like not Yes but Maybe?
It's Yes.
It's called Soytonly.
Yes.
You know, Justin, we should start a network and call it Soytonly.
We show no Stooges.
that does bring up an idea, but that's probably off the air.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that off the air.
All right, so do we want to talk Crew Portland at all?
No.
So the Columbus Crew is going to go to Portland.
Here's something that I actually have a rant, and I'm not even sitting in the rant chair.
No, let's talk about this. I think this is
because Justin knows where I'm going with this.
I
tweeted two things as I was watching. I wasn't watching. I was listening to this press conference while working in Illustrator at work, and I'm thinking to myself. Two things. One, I really think that U.S. soccer and MLS their target demographic is Gen X and Y and the millennials and all those guys. And all these people, all that demographic is more and more mobile connected than its predecessor, and probably even more mobile connected than its the generations coming after it. Okay? There has to be some way. I think that they really should take this deal and pioneer a change in blackout rules. That's number one. Because blackout rules, if you don't know, if I'm not mistaken, that was an act of Congress. Where
it was actually an act of NFL, I believe.
Was it? Yeah, no, but I mean, it was.
NFL has disbanded the Senate.
It was made. It was made into. I can't remember if it was
Emperor
an act of Congress
Goodell, or
if
it was a House resolution.
It was FCC. But regardless, so you had those rules that were made actually back in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So look at where the technology was in the 70s and how people used to watch TV, and look at how people watch now. I mean, even Nielsen now has different ratings for web streaming and rentals than just regular TV. So there has to be some way that these networks, with all the money that they have to throw around, that they figure out, one, how to make adjustments to those blackout rules, and two, how to be able to reach the money that is in the pockets of those people that are more mobile connected and cord cutters than they are wanting to sit around a TV and watch a soccer game. I, 9 times out of 10, I am watching. Tell me about people who have computers that are not dual monitors at this point.
No,
a lot of people are having dual monitors, and I'll say I'm usually watching a soccer game on one monitor while I'm working on the other, whether I'm editing or whether I'm browsing the web or whatever. So I'm a cord cutter. I haven't had cable in 4 years. If I had the opportunity to be able to subscribe to DirectKick or whatever that it becomes to watch game without blackout restrictions, at least on away games. Home games, I can understand. You don't want to blackout. You want to blackout home games because you want people to come to the game. I'm perfectly fine with that. Away games, now I have a problem.
Yes.
I cannot go and physically watch this team. So take my money and show me the games. But also, don't gouge me. This is the reason I don't have, as much as I love baseball, I don't have the Major League Baseball app. Because even though the Major League Baseball subscription for the app is something like $110 a year, you still cannot watch. I cannot watch Cincinnati Reds games even when they're playing in LA. I cannot watch them when they're playing in New York. I cannot watch them when they're playing in Cincinnati.
That doesn't make any sense.
Even though I live 2 hours
away.
I have a very cynical view of all of this. I think what they're doing is precisely what you said earlier. How can they make money off of these things? And I don't think that they know how. I fundamentally think that they are looking at...
They're in a box.
They're looking at the end of their existence. And so what they're doing is trying to justify a way to keep them going as long as possible until they figure out a way how. You're right. This is technology that's based in the 1970s. It's a mindset that's based in the
1970s. It's laws that are based in the
70s. Yeah, and the issue that they're running into is the fact that the major reason why soccer is so important, why we've had this big boom in this sport over the last few years, is primarily because it's been available on the internet.
Yep.
Soccer will not work on television. And I know that Don Garber said, I should say, club soccer over the course of a season will not work on television. It'll work on the World Cup because it's an event.
Yep.
It will not work this destination thing of saying, oh, well, hey, we've got games on 5 and 7 o'clock on Sundays. Great. You know what?
You're going to be competing with MLS, with the NFL for at least, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
Two months?
And think about the other stuff that's on Sunday nights. People aren't going to watch this because they're people, like you said, they're younger people who want to watch it online. So ESPN comes in, and they were talking about why did this take so long, and this is why I think it took so long. I think MLS knew that they had a very valuable property with their online streaming, and they wanted ESPN to pay. They wanted to do something with it, and I don't think ESPN wanted them to do something with it. ESPN and Fox. I think ESPN. So they basically MLS told them, "Well, we've lost power there."
No.
It's been about a year and a half since that's happened. So
yeah, I think MLS told them we need to have a designated time that you're going to show our games. And in return, what they did was they gave away the rights. And now ESPN owns them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they own them for 8 years, 7 years. And it's going to change a lot of things. My biggest fear is this. that they are going to start to realize we can't get over this plateau of, say, 350,000 viewers per show, per broadcast,
yeah. mm-hmm.
or 400,000 viewers per broadcast. We can't get over it. And so what we need to do is, you need to, MLS, you need to kind of get with us, get with the program here, and we're going to change soccer. And when Rob Heineman the other day had that interview with the radio show, and the radio announcer asked him what they can do to make soccer more appealing on television.
Oh my God!
And he threw out some things, kind of as a side, just to be polite to the guy. I believe that they think that's the way that they think. I believe that wholeheartedly because it's where the money is. They see it as real money that's available to them right now if they can get their ratings better. So I'm thinking in-game commercials are a real possibility. I'm thinking instant replay is inevitable. It's going to happen. I mean, these are things that television does to sports.
Yep.
That is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do this to soccer, it is going to throw people into
a tizzy.
It's going to be just virulent hatred that comes at these people, and it could very well have an impact that they don't foresee.
Yeah.
On the core people who have kept this thing going and given these people the possibility. When they talked in that press conference, they said over and over again, the ESPN guys said, they never mentioned the play on the field.
No.
They didn't.
No.
They barely mentioned the sport.
They talked about marketing about 90% of
marketing,
the time.
Marketing. And they talked about the passion in the fan base.
Yes.
That is what they're selling.
Of course.
That is all MLS has, is the supporters culture. And they're risking changing that if they think that, well, we'll go along and we'll get better ratings. That's our goal. They said that there's 4 points, and one of them is better ratings. They never mentioned better availability online, and that is a huge, huge mistake.
Yeah, and that's precisely what worried me and caused me to put those two thoughts out, is because the more you step away, I mean, it's one thing for it to be on ESPN3 and on Watch ESPN or Fox Sports Go or whatever. The problem remains this: you're tying all of these with cable providers.
Yeah.
And the longer you tie this with cable providers, the more you're going to start seeing this slip away, because I would rather pay, if you say pay $100 and no blackouts, I won't even blink an eye, I'll pay it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you say pay $100 and you get to watch the game 24 hours later, I'll be like, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And the cable providers and ESPN are making that decision now.
And exactly.
Yeah. It's an interesting topic, and obviously we're going to go more into that in the coming weeks. But as details come out. Right now,
we have 2 minutes to talk about Portland.
Yeah,
wait. Before we talk about Portland.
Oh yeah,
well, Chad Marshall own goal.
Chad Marshall own goal. Oh yeah, that happened. All right, so let's just do score predictions for Portland, because I've got nothing at this point. Do you have anything, Justin?
No.
Greg, do you have anything?
Well, I mean, first of all, you take a look at the standings. Portland's dead last in the West. They have one win from 10 games.
Yeah.
How many of us coming into this point, looking at this fixture on the schedule, predicted that's where Portland would be? I mean, you know, we're talking a team that was a couple goals away from going to MLS Cup last year.
Yeah.
With that said, I still don't think that means we can mail this one in, and I don't. Yeah,
I don't think that means we can even. You know,
I don't think we have enough postage for that.
Yeah, we don't. We don't. Chris, anything else on Portland?
5-0.
5-0.
Oh, you took my prediction. Wait, which way?
You know what? I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna, in all seriousness, 2-0 to Portland.
Okay.
This team just does not have it together.
Jables.
5-0 us.
Yeah.
Greg, I mean, why not?
Why not? Yeah, exactly. It's Calvin Ball at this point. Greg.
I'm going to say 1-0 to Portland, only because Volvo Vargas hasn't joined yet.
And doesn't Portland get that one goal from Timbers Army?
That's pretty much it. They get a one goal walk up on whoever it is that they play, and I think that's all that they'll need, to be honest. I just haven't seen enough from us.
The goalless drought goes to 927 minutes.
We don't want it, but I mean, yeah, that's where we're at right now.
Also,
Sam. Oh, go ahead. What do you got there, Chris?
No, go ahead, Sam.
No, go ahead.
I was going to fill time until you got a quote going.
I already have one.
All right, Sam, what do you got, buddy?
It's going to be in the ballpark of 1-0, 2-0 loss.
like Greg said, I'm not seeing anything that says otherwise, unless Berhalter decides to do something completely different, because he's like, well, screw it, we're not really planning to win this year anyway. Let's go to the extreme.
There's
definitely a mentality of stay the course right now.
Can I make a caveat to my prediction?
Go ahead.
The caveat to my prediction is that if the lineup varies from something that we've seen already, other than Michael Parkhurst, if we see a new lineup, we win this game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the lineup stays the same and the status remains quo, we lose by at least 2 goals.
That's fair. All right, I'm thinking 1-0 Portland. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm really hoping that we reverse jinx this. And
yeah, that'd be great.
You just undid the reverse jinx by mentioning the reverse jinx.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Way to go, Sam.
That's well done.
It's saying that we believe in jinx.
Well done.
Hashtag blame Sam.
I believe there is a jinx. I believe there is a jinx. All right.
Yes.
Wait, what was the formation you wanted to... 3-5-9.
3-5-9,
I thought that was an area code for a second. I had no idea where 3-5-9 was.
We have 9 strikers if we put Julia Ash in.
Hey!
Then we're good.
If the 3-5-9 area code is Portland, I'm gonna
I don't think it's...
All right. For everybody on the show tonight...
I'm looking it up.
Thanks for doing that, Justin. For everybody on the show tonight, this has been The Massive Report. My name is Matt Goschert. Life has been immeasurably better since I've been forced to stop taking it seriously.